Now, the Art Lewis Show on News Radio 790 WSGW.
Well, good morning to you and welcome. Welcome to another edition of the Art Lewis Show on WSGW. Nice to have you with us on this Friday morning. Later on, we'll have some open phones. But before we get to that, it's not often that I interview an author of a novel. I've done a lot of authors who have written factual books, but not typically novels. Well, there are always exceptions, and one of those is today. The book is called Minnie's Potatoes. It is a book of family, romance, even exotic at times, exotica, history, immigration, struggles. It's historical, and it ends in bootlegging, friends. And it's all in Michigan, or at least it ends in Michigan. And its author is with us this morning, and she is Loris Lezebnik. Lori, good morning to you.
Hi, Art.
Okay, I have to ask, Lori. Now, this is a historical novel based on the history of your family. Is that correct?
That's correct. It was my great grandmother is the protagonist who tells the story.
What brought you to want to do this?
Well, I didn't start out just wanting to write a book. My parents died within a month of each other 2 years ago, and I realized that I had lost my connection to my hometown, which is Standish, Michigan, to my family there, because I always depended upon my parents to remind me who I was related to, and now they weren't there. I still have a brother there, but he remembers even less than I did. So I was wandering around the cemetery, and there were a couple other cemetery plots with our Hartman family name on it, and I noticed that one of the oldest plot had a bunch of stones with men's names on, and then there was one stone that just had the words mother incised into the granite, and I couldn't figure out who that was or why wouldn't they put that woman's name there. I eventually figured out it must be my great-grandmother, but I had no idea what her name was, and so I got a little testy. I was a little angry with my family for this woman had given birth. She'd come halfway across the world and in steerage. I remember that story from growing up. And she landed in the lumber woods, and they didn't even put her name on her stone, so I was angry. But the anger turned into curiosity. So I wasn't even thinking about writing a book at this time. I was just curious.
So had you been involved in genealogy at all? Had you done any family research prior to this?
No, I hadn't. It just wasn't the top priority. I'd done research before for some of my other books, but not on my family. I just sort of counted on everybody remembering. And I didn't think my parents were ever going to die. I think that's how we all sort of get into that.
So when you went on this genealogical expedition, how far back in your family's history did you go?
Well, I got as far back as my Minnie was my great-grandmother. I got her parents and her grandparents. And they were, this was the funny thing. My family's always been very proud they were German. Turns out they were Polish.
The things you find out when you start looking, huh?
Uh-huh. They came from a town called Lewisenfeld. I'm not pronouncing that right, which was in the middle of Poland. And my grandfather, Minnie's oldest son, was born in Poznan, which I thought was a little hick town in the middle of Poland until I visited it. And it's a huge industrial town, very, very old, with castles and moats. And, it's a very sophisticated, beautiful old town with kings and churches with tombs under the floors of the churches. And so she came from a very sophisticated place to the wilderness that was Michigan's early lumbering era.
So Minnie is the vehicle by which the story is told then.
Yes.
This is about Minnie's life in some ways, right?
Well, yeah, it's from her point of view because, you know, we read history, but a lot of the history we read is factual from a man's point of view. But this is what it was like for a woman to live in the lumber woods and deal with having children and working hard and dealing with a husband that's gone for, you know, months at a time.
Let's go back though. Let's understand a little bit about Minnie. And the book, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, is Minnie's Potatoes by Lori Lezebnik. Part of the charm of this book is some of the old history and the romance that went on in Minnie's life, even before she got here, wasn't it?
Oh yes, oh yes. She was born a beauty, and that was her biggest liability, because she was treated differently than everybody else. And she figured that out young, but not soon enough. She married at 16, started having children at 18. Her husband left Germany because of the political situation. He was sort of what we'd call a draft dodger, but at that time, the Tsar's army or the Prussian army would take you in and keep you for away from home for years. So he came to America. Actually, some of the lumbering companies here needed workers, so they would send free tickets over to Germany. They'd advertise in newspapers to get workers. So he got a ticket. He came over early and then saved enough money to send for her and her three children. The ticket, by the way, I found out cost $78.
Try that today.
Yeah.
All right. So, and was there not two brothers involved in this story?
Yes, there was. Now, this is a little, I use a little artistic license here. When Minnie arrived in America, she had another lover, and she gave birth to this other lover's child when she first arrived. And I had to, nobody in the family ever knew it. There was always this rumor or this story that my grandfather told, that she had a child and the gestation period was 14 months. So, ha, ha, ha. So I heard that for many years, so I just... It had to be somebody back in Germany at the time. So to make the story work, I made it his brother. So that person is actually fictitious. And I made him really a bad guy.
Well, that's why it's a historical novel.
Yes.
That's why they call it a historical novel. We're talking to Larissa Lezebnik. Lori wrote the book Minnie's Potatoes. She's going to be in Standish this weekend. We'll tell you more about that. But we're also going to get to what I think is the fascinating part of this book that has to do with bootlegging, of all things. Lori, hang on. We'll be back with you in just a couple of moments here on WSGW, The Art Lawyer Show. It is 9:20.
The Just for Kids Foundation is back and better this year. Hi, this is Lisa Recksteiner with Art Lewis.
Just for Kids is such a great organization and has been doing this for 11 years now.
Hey, Art, what do you think of the 2017 Chevrolet Camaro?
Yeah, it's kind of awesome ride. I've always wanted one.
And it's easy to win one.
Win? How would someone do that?
Well, all you have to do is buy a ticket and it could be yours. There are only 1,000 tickets available, so your chances are really good.
And all the proceeds benefit and help mentor local Tri-County kids.
Take a chance by giving local kids a chance. Purchase your tickets now to win a 2017 Chevrolet Camaro. Or if you win, you can choose the $30,000 cash. For tickets, stop by Meyer & Associates on Westside Saginaw Road, Bay City, Grass Chevrolet on Wilder Road in Bay City, Sabrin's Pharmacy in Midland and Bay City, or at Thumb National Bank in Bay City. Or call 667-KIDS. That's 667-KIDS.
You can make a difference in the lives of local children.
For more information, go to goodkids123.org. That's goodkids123.org.
Just for Kids, making a difference one child at a time.
With the Fox Business Network, Hershey is rejecting a takeover bid from Mondelez, the maker of Cadbury chocolates and Oreo cookies. Mondelez offered $23 billion for the company. Hershey's board of directors unanimously rejected the deal, says it offers no basis for further discussion. Mondelez is interested in the Hershey name and the production and distribution rights for Kit Kat, A federal court has thrown out an antitrust settlement between Visa, MasterCard, and millions of retailers involving fees. The judge says some merchants were not adequately represented in that $7 billion agreement. It's a very good time to lock in a mortgage. Freddie Mac says the national average for a 30-year fixed mortgage is 3.48%, down from 3.56% last week. The Dow added 235 points yesterday. NASDAQ added 63. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Ginny Cosola.
Not available in all states.
Whoa, what do you have there?
It's a Reason Irvy's frozen yogurt. We just had our robot make one.
A robot made your frozen yogurt?
Yes, the world's first fully interactive robot vending machine that serves 9 flavors of delicious yogurt with 6 amazing toppings. And it's available for an exclusive franchise opportunity.
How do I get my own Reason Irvy's robots?
It's easy, but you better act now. Locations and machines are going fast. Just go to froyofranchising.com. That's froyofranchising.com. Check it out now, froyofranchising.com.
Here's what some of you had to say on the talkback feature on the WSGW app about the Orlando mass shooting incident.
It was a terrorist attack by a fanatical Muslim. I believe we should surveillance all mosques, be randomly checking out all Muslims and any other person that poses a danger.
There's a difference between a nationality and a belief. We should remember this, as should Mr. Trump, when we start judging the Muslim community.
Talk back to WSGW whenever you want on the 790 AM or the 100.5 FM app.
This is Mike Avery, and here's what's coming up this week on Outdoor Magazine. First, Ontario bear hunting guide Ron St. Louis has an option for hunters who didn't get a Michigan tag. Then, Lake Michigan charter captain Paul Schlafly on salmon fishing so far this summer. Plus, Maya Turek of the DNR on the recreational passport program. And outdoor writer Richard P. Smith talks bear and whitetails in Michigan. Listen Sunday mornings 9 till noon on WSGW 790 AM.
The WSGW Morning Team posts podcasts at WSGW.com. Look for interactive on the menu bar and click podcasts.
Back with you on the Art Lewis Show, we are talking to Lori Lezebnik, who has authored the book Minnie's Potatoes. And Lori, a graduate of Central Michigan University, a former secondary school art and English teacher, international marketing and sales in her background, a licensed pilot, a real estate salesperson. Anything I missed there, Lori? And how did you find time in your life?
Well, you missed something very important. I was Aranet County Cherry Pie Baking Champion 1958.
I'm sorry, I'll make a note of that.
Okay.
The book is Minnie's Potatoes, the story of how her great-grandmother Minnie actually made it to the United States, ending up in a lumbering area of Michigan and eventually settling into the Standish area. So let's kind of skip ahead a little bit here, because it fascinates me that she ended up bootlegging. How did that come about?
Well, she didn't have a lot of options. When she wasn't educated at that time in Poland, they didn't educate girls because you were just supposed to stay home, take care of the house, and have babies. So when she got here, she worked as a cook in a boarding house. And when she was 46 years old, or 1901, her husband died, leaving her with 10 children to support.
Ten,
yeah. She had 12, but two had already died.
Oh, wow.
So she had to figure out something. They had just bought some land, and they were clearing the stumps off the land west of Standish. They didn't want to lose the land. It was a problem. And it wasn't long after he died that she started seeing the temperance movement, what was happening there. And it was as early as 1910 that the Sugar House Gang, that used to be called, that later were called the Purple Gang, started bringing booze over from Windsor over the frozen Detroit River on sleds. They became a little more sophisticated later and filled up Buicks and drove them across the the thin ice. And later they even had a pipeline going from Windsor over to Detroit to supply the ever-growing need. But Minnie saw this coming, and she knew how to make liquor because she had done it in Poland, because everybody did it then. The mothers taught their daughters. So she started planning, and then in actually it was 1916 with the Damon Act was passed by the state of Michigan prohibiting the sale of alcohol. That was 100 years ago. And Michigan was the first state to prohibit the sale, and Erneck County was the first county to go dry. So she was really at the forefront of, everything was sort of, the stars were lining for her.
not necessarily legally, but they were lining for her.
The people that have read this book, I get more people coming up saying, my grandmother was a bootlegger too, up on the third floor of her house, and the federal agents came one time. And I have a cousin, and I remember playing in her house out by Pine River, that's just east of Standish. It was a blind pig, and there was a secret room at the top of the stairs where they used to hide the liquor. And we used to pull out the drawers and go in and look at the secret room. But at this time, none of this made sense to me because I was just a kid. And my dad would tell stories about how when he was 8 years old, he used to roll fruit jars filled with liquor on the floor after his older sister Hattie had poured in some burned sugar, because amber-colored liquor would sell at a higher price than just clear. And then when my Uncle Lawrence would come to visit my dad's brother, they would talk about how he delivered the hooch on the back roads of Michigan. And when I'd walk in the room, the conversation would stop and the subject would be changed until I left the room. So I knew that it was important. So there were all these clues. My Uncle Barney was a cripple, and I always heard that it was a hunting accident until I was doing research, and I went through the papers, the Erneck County Independent newspaper from 1896 all the way up to 1931, and I found an article that stated that Barney was, somebody tried to murder him near Rose City. They shot him with a pistol in his back, left him there in the woods until some of his buddies came and picked him up, and they had to take him by train down to Bay City. And after that, he was always in a wheelchair. And some of these stories just started adding up, and I finally realized as I'm putting all this stuff together, my gosh, my whole family was involved in bootlegging. It wasn't just my great-grandmother, but her children and her grandchildren were too.
Considering the times and the laws, did they ever get caught?
Well, there was the law, and then there was the law. The law, from my research, a lot of the police were paid off, or there were raids, but they were warned of the raids before, so they got rid of their stills. So there was the law. And then there was the gangster law. And the gangster law said, you stay in your territory, you come in my territory, I'm going to take your whiskey and probably kill you. And that is, I think, what happened to Barney. And his brother Emil Hartman was run off the road, and there were bullet holes in his car. That I found in the newspaper. And then Minnie's grandson, Lawrence, my dad's brother, was run off the road, and his whole face was cut off. He was, it was a backwoods road, and Then I found out that that was because of he was out of his territory. So there was the law, and then there was the law of the bootlegger.
I have to tell you, Lori, while I'm sitting here listening to this story, what goes through my mind is that most people in doing this kind of genealogical research would find out they come from a family of bootleggers and disavow it immediately. You, on the other hand, revel in it.
Well, you know, there's when you do genealogy, it's important to do that because those genes are running in your blood too. So the more I learned about the family, the more I understood about me and my brother and my parents and kind of why we do things. I think it's really important to do that.
Now, don't tell me you have a still down at Clark Lake.
No, but one time I did make mulberry wine. It wasn't very good.
Well, the book is called Minnie's Potatoes, and it is a fascinating read. It is a quick read, but not a small book, I should tell you that. There's 370-some-odd pages in this book. But once you pick it up and start reading it, you will stay attached to it. And you can pick it up at Amazon and Barnes and Noble. And, in addition, coming up, I think, in the near future, you're going to be up in Standish, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. And July 10th, I'll be at our historic train depot talking about the importance of preserving family history. And this is something that your radio audience at WSGW should know, not to throw anything away. Keep the family records. Put names and dates on photos. Don't throw away Bibles. Keep family stories, because someday you or your grandchildren are going to want to know about you. And so don't be an anonymous gravestone like Minnie was.
It's a lesson to be learned by all. And in this day and age, with our ability to, for example, record individuals, how wonderful it is to be able to sit down with grandpa or grandma, turn on a camera or recording device, and just chat and hear the stories about the family.
Mm-hmm. That's really important. Very important. And what happens to you when you do that isn't that you get a list of names and dates, or even that you write a book. What happens is it gives you a place in the history. It's a settling kind of thing. You know where you came from, and you kind of know where what's ahead of you, the family ahead of you. You know your place.
So July 10th, you're going to be at the historic train station in Standish. What time are you going to be there?
Well, we've got two times at 2 o'clock for the family, and I'm not sure how that's going to go because I've got a lot of names in the book, and some of them might not be happy to be there. And then it's going to be open to the public at 4. So 2 for the family and at 4 o'clock for everybody else.
If any of those family members bring you a jar with clear liquid in it, don't drink it.
Okay.
Laurie, it's been a great pleasure.
Thank you,
Art. We look forward to seeing you in the near future. But the book, again, Minnie's Potatoes, it's available at Amazon and at Barnes and Noble, a great read, historical novel. And the nicest thing about it is that it references and relates to our area. So, Laurie, thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Art.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. And again, that was Laurie Lezebnik, and the book is Minnie's Potatoes.